Blue Mountain Christian University offers a fully online RN to BSN degree for registered nurses. This cohort-based program is designed for working nurses and can be completed in as little as 1 year or part-time over 2 years. RN to BSN students are admitted each fall, and coursework is delivered online with instruction grounded in a Christian worldview. Learn more about the RN to BSN online degree at bmc.edu.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today is Monday, August the 24th, 2026. And again, as always, we thank you for listening to AFR. In studio with me today is Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning, Tim.
Chris Woodward.
Good morning.
You're my brother, too.
Thank you.
Brother in Christ. That's what the Bible says, right?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Ed Battagliano is at home this morning.
Domestic duties.
Yeah, he's waiting on air conditioning man.
For a long time he's been waiting.
He texted last night or yesterday afternoon and said, I won't be in.
Nope.
Because air conditioning is more important than the show.
Yes.
And I couldn't agree with him more.
In this neck of the woods?
Yeah. So his air conditioning, maybe I'm telling too much.
Oh, no, Ed explained it to us. There's a...
Plumbing would have been too much, but...
Yeah. There's a little switch that's not working properly.
Now, his air conditioning is working, but...
Yes.
But if he has a...
If it's tripped by a power surge or something like that, it does weird things to his air conditioning system, so...
It's like demonic or something.
They've had to stay home. Somebody's had to be in the house.
Right.
Because when this surge protector, whatever it is, doesn't work, then the air conditioning doesn't come back on.
Yeah.
Or it makes weird noises.
Yeah.
And they have to reset it.
It's not demonic until you hear, get out, at some point during your day.
Well, okay. So anyway, so the air conditioning man gave him the old, I'll be there between 8 and 12 deal. I think we've all experienced that, haven't we?
He'll be there at 4:45.
And we stand at the window and we look out front like little children waiting to get out of daycare, hoping and praying. We do that for two things, air conditioning man and the TV man.
That's right.
Right?
That's pretty much.
Waiting to see if they're going to actually come and fix what's broken.
Yeah.
So anyway, so Ed'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully.
Lord willing.
Lord willing and air conditioning don't break.
Yes.
Huh? Do not. I don't think that was proper English, but I think people understand the point.
Yes.
Don't you think so, Fred?
I think he's going to be back for his birthday, too.
Yeah. When is his birthday?
It's coming up this week.
Really? Are you going to get him anything?
Brent, our producer, has a surprise, I think.
What? You do? Okay, well, it's not a surprise if Ed's listening right now, though I don't think he's listening. I think
he doesn't know what the surprise is.
No, he's standing at his window waiting on the air conditioning.
I got a Stouffer's lasagna in the freezer. I'm going to get out and let him.
You're such a generous man.
I'm your brother.
And okay. So, all right. So, we need to surprise him there.
It's fun surprising Ed.
Yeah. Get him a Stouffer's lasagna.
I'll let it thaw.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
You're going to let it thaw. Oh, you're too nice.
Yeah. Well, there was that one year, Fred. I gave it to him frozen, and I didn't know if I was going to have a job the next day.
All right. Well, we wish Ed the very best this morning as he awaits the arrival of the air conditioning man.
He's going to get his AC for his birthday.
Right, huh?
That's a cool
AC
gift.
Working for...
Is today the day?
No.
Okay.
Couple of days.
All right. All right. Again, appreciate everybody listening. We got a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. At the bottom of the hour, we are going to discuss how our ministry here, AFA and AFR, is impacting American politics. You may say, well, why is that important? Aren't you more interested in spiritual things? Yes, we are more interested in spiritual things, but we have to be interested also in worldly things, if that's what you want to call them, politics and government. But why? Because that affects us all.
Mm-hmm.
It affects our liberty, our freedom, our way of life, right and wrong, morality, all those things are affected by politics. And, you know, we just have to, I use this verse, salt and light, from Matthew chapter 5. Mm-hmm. We have to be salt and light. Mm-hmm. That was Jesus telling us that.
Yeah.
And that includes our public life. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about that with Walker. Walker mm-hmm. Wildman's going to be over here, because I think people are going to be surprised how much we are able to do.
Yeah.
Our ministry is able to do and impact politics and government across the country. So we look forward to talking to, because a lot of people write us checks who listen to us right now, and they want to know, what do you do with our money?
Yeah.
Well, we do a lot of things with, and just the radio ministry, but also a lot of other aspects that we address here at American Family Association, American Family Radio.
Well, we live in a day and age, Tim, where there are so many challenges to biblical principles.
Yeah, exactly.
In our government.
Exactly.
I mean, any mom and dad listening out there who perhaps, and I think of places like Virginia, who has faced the possibility that their daughter may be confronted by a male in her school bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people may say, well, is that a political? Oh, sure is.
Mm-hmm.
It sure is mm-hmm. a political issue
mm-hmm.
because they're passing laws to allow that kind of thing mm-hmm. to happen.
But it's also a moral and spiritual issue.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, you know, I don't have much patience or time with our, with Christians who say, you know, we don't need to be involved in politics or government because that's the devil's domain. And I'm going like, really?
Yeah.
So if Christians totally abandon politics, who does that leave to make laws
right.
that we all have to obey?
Yeah.
Well, not pagans mm-hmm. or God haters.
Yeah.
So go ahead,
yeah.
Chris.
Alex was talking about this one time. It's been a few months, but he said, you know, I hear that all the time, but I always respond with, well, brother, where are we going to live?
Right.
So.
Right. It makes no sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just a way to escape responsibility for those people. And to me, it is, or to sound more, you know, spiritual, high and mighty, you know. I don't dirty my hands with that stuff. Really? If you don't dirty your hands with that stuff, at least at a voting level, then you're going to lose your freedom and your rights to do what you say you need to be doing for the Lord.
That's right.
All right. That'll preach right there, won't it?
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. So, Chris.
Yes.
What is our first news story?
All right. Well, some 90,000 people in the Reno, Nevada area have been forced to evacuate as a fast-moving wildfire threatens their home and livelihoods there. Authorities believe this is a human-caused fire, but they've not gone into details in terms of how they reached that conclusion or whether it was intentionally set or accidental. This is called the Hawk Fire. H-A-W-K fire. It began Saturday and it grew to more than 23 square miles as it spread Sunday across the region. And again, some 90,000 people have evacuated on this. Fox also has one of their meteorologists in the path of the fire, or in the region, I should say. Let's hear from Britta Merwin, clip 10.
The tough thing is the explosive development that we had Saturday night into Sunday. That's when the size of this fire really jumped, and it's burning very close to Reno, prompted mandatory evacuations, giving residents very little time to grab what they could and get out. So here's the latest, but please keep in mind, it's the overnight in Nevada. As we wake up and start our day on the West Coast, we'll probably see some change to some of these numbers. But as we went to bed last night, still looking at 0% containment, over 15,000 acres. So again, it was the big increase in the winds that led to that explosive growth with this fire.
Scary stuff there.
Absolutely.
We've talked about this before, but in the summertime, these are always stories, but usually they don't impact so many people. Reno, Nevada, I don't know how many people the population is. I'm guessing 500,000, maybe 1 million. But here's the thing. They just, 90,000 people are displaced.
Yes.
And I mean,
and they may go home to a home that's been burned to the ground, or
yeah.
or a business where he worked or she worked.
Yeah, there are 90,000 people. They have to leave. I don't know if you guys saw the images of this fire
mm-hmm.
coming down these hills, but it looked like an inferno.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and with the winds being such that they are, it's almost impossible for the firefighters to
Well, these fires create their own atmospheric condition because the heat, and it creates its own wind, and that just blows the fire along. We've been dealing with so many of these wildfires in various locations, most of them being in the western United States. Steve Jordahl has been dealing with a community south of Colorado Springs where there was a big fire back about a month and a half ago. And I think he said 60% of the members of one particular church had lost their houses. Mm-hmm. I mean, we get the stories like this about wildfires, but very often we have to do our own stories at American Family News to get down to that kind of personal devastation. You can imagine, think about your church, folks. Think about the fact if 60% of the members of your church lost their homes, their mm-hmm. houses in a fire. Mm-hmm. Just think of the impact that has.
Yeah, you know, in the world of pick your disaster zone to live in, listen, we live in the southeastern part of the country, and we have tornadoes, yeah. But we get warnings.
Yes.
For the most part, watches and warnings mm-hmm. Where we live. You live in places like California where earthquakes, mm-hmm. there's no, this afternoon from 5 to 7 o'clock, we have an earthquake right. morning. There's yeah. nothing like yeah. that. Mm-hmm. And with these forest fires, with hurricanes, they're devastating. But again, you get a warning. Mm-hmm. And with these fires, they just spring up and they can just spread like crazy so fast. But I was just stunned by that number of people that are told to leave. 90,000 people. That's a lot of folks to, as you say, Fred, to say, leave, go somewhere else, and also we don't know if your home will be here yeah. when you get back.
Yeah. So. I looked it up. Reno, Nevada has a population of about 287,000 people, but when you combine it with the nearby Sparks area and you consider the broader
the metro area.
Yes, the broader Reno-Sparks metropolitan area does have 500,000 people. You're good at guessing numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of people. And so you're talking about one-fifth of the population being told to leave. Mm-hmm. So then where do they go?
Yeah. I mean, 90,000 people is more than two Tupelos.
Yeah.
And we're considered a city for the surrounding area, for sure.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening. Next story, Chris.
All right. President Trump's political poll is facing a big test in the Palmetto State tomorrow.
His what now? His poll?
Yeah, his political poll.
I got you.
Tomorrow, South Carolina voters are going to choose between Trump-backed Darlene Graham and Ralph Norman to fill the late Lindsey Graham Senate seat for a full six-year term. President Trump has put his political capital behind Darlene Graham. He campaigned with her in South Carolina on Friday. I've got a little bit of audio here of President Trump talking about Darlene Graham. Clip 3.
Lynn, I'd love to see you run beyond the 5 months that you're serving. And you've already made an impact in the Senate. You know that. Everybody respects you. Everybody listens to you. So I asked her to run. I think she's going to do phenomenally. I really think it's amazing. She's never done it before, but she knows politics well.
That last phrase there has gotten a lot of reaction because, as we played on the show last week while you were gone, there was a soundbite of her in a debate with Ralph Norman. Darlene Graham was asked about national security, and she stumbled and stammered and said, "I'm not up to speed on national security." So yeah. He says she knows politics well, but she herself admitted, "Honestly, I don't know a lot about national security."
Yeah. Well, I just think the United States Senate deserves at least one Darlene. So, I got to vote for her just from her first name only. Huh? Senator Darlene. You don't hear that name much anymore. That's old school. That's Andy Griffith Show stuff, isn't it?
It is. It is.
But listen, Darlene, her last name is Graham as well, right?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so this is a this is a situation where whoever wins the Republican primary in South Carolina, because it's a deep red state, is going to be the next United States senator. Mm-hmm. So is that tomorrow?
Yeah. Yes.
Yep. Okay. So Norman, he's a representative too, right?
Yes. Congressman, frequent guest on programs that AFRAers.
Yes. He's excellent. Mm-hmm. So
Southern accent too.
I'm not saying she isn't. I don't know too much about Darlene Graham except that she's Lindsey Graham's sister. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's going to come down, I think, to the emotion. You know, it is Lindsey Graham's sister.
Right.
She was chosen by President, endorsed by President Trump. And then, of course, the governor of the state selected her to do the 5 months until we get to the election. So it's going to come down to, you know, is the gaffe going to cost her? We'll wait and see.
What was considered her gaffe? She said, I don't know. She was asked a question about national security, and she said, I don't know much about it. Is that what it was?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Darlene's going to have to learn to just make stuff up. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that.
Just filibuster. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Just say, well, okay, in all seriousness, she did say, I don't know much. I'm not quoting her. I'm paraphrasing. She said, I don't know a lot about national security. Mm-hmm. I do support the military.
Yes.
Yes.
You got the quip? Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll hear, what do you call it? Do you call it Senator?
She is currently a senator.
But do you, so it's not Senator Intern or?
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so she's Senator?
Yeah.
Darlene Graham. This was this her faux pas, supposedly?
It begins with the question, yes.
Okay, so this was in a debate, what, 2 weeks ago? Something
last week. Last Tuesday.
So let's hear this.
Senator, are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States? If so, why?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Are Taiwan and the South China Sea national security issues for the United States? And if so, why or how?
I'm just going to be honest here. I'm not on national security. I'm not that informed on national security. So, but I do support the military.
Okay, you got to do better than that, huh? You got to do better than that. You at least need to say Taiwan has been our ally for a long time, and we support the Taiwanese and their right to exist, we support. You know, that's all you need to say.
Yeah.
Next question.
Yeah.
But you got to know at least that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you do sound like you're ignorant.
If that had been the opponent for Senator Lindsey Graham in a debate, and his Democratic opponent said that, Lindsey would have pounced all over that person because his big thing was national security and foreign policy.
Yeah. 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 That was definitely a swing and a miss right there on that one.
Did you notice the crowd goes, ooh.
Yeah, right. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Next story, Chris.
Well, the feud between Michigan and Ohio continues, and I'm not talking about football, although football season is in
upon
the not-too-distant
future. It's about upon us.
Yes, but J.D. Vance, Vice President J.D. Vance, was campaigning in places like Ohio in the last few days. And while he was in the Midwest, he...
Campaigning for what?
Well, he was giving speeches. It was basically a political rally.
Okay.
So I just said campaigning. But he, at a political event in Ohio in the last few days, he talked about Mohammed El-Sayed, the Democratic Socialist running for Senate in Michigan. And he had this to say about El-Sayed. Clip 4.
This guy running for Senate in Michigan... He once argued, not too long ago, that criticisms of Sharia law were rooted in white supremacy. I'd love to go back in time and tell my papaw that there's a man who claims to stand for working people who says not only should we have Sharia law, but if you criticize it, you're a white supremacist. That's not my papaw's Democrat Party, my friends.
I'll tell you, this is today's Democratic Party is not the party I saw in the 90s.
Oh, I got what he's saying. It's, you know... So much of the country, especially the southern states, prior to probably Richard Nixon, back in the late 60s, early 70s, the South was considered, Ohio is obviously the Midwest, I understand that, but still, I think the reasons why Vice President Vance is talking about yesterday's or yesteryear's Democrat Party is not today's Democrat Party. That it was called, for Democrats, the southern states were like the solid South. You remember
mm-hmm.
that?
Mm-hmm.
And for Midwestern states, a lot of Democrats were the Democrat Party were, you know, the Republicans were considered the party of the the rich and the, you know, well-to-do, and the Democrats were considered the party of the average person, but that's sort of, that those things don't fit the caricature anymore. So what he's talking about, J.D. Vance, is these Democrat candidates that are being run are not anything like John F. Kennedy.
Correct.
Or as I say, yesteryear's, the Democrats of the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even, well, things started to change then. In fact, the southern states flipped completely. Mm-hmm. They went from, I don't even know if they called it red and blue in the 60s and 70s in terms of political identification, but things completely flipped over.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Republicans, for the most part, control and Ohio,
yeah,
Indiana, the Ohio and Indiana, Missouri, the West Virginia, those states that are kind of in the middle of the country, call Midwestern states, but they basically identify with the South in terms of their political views.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Michigan, not so much. Michigan's kind of purple.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania's purple. You're getting more into the northern, northeastern part of the country. Go ahead, Fred.
I wonder if we could play that clip again, because I want to point out something that our Vice President J.D. Vance did in this.
This guy running for Senate in Michigan, he once argued not too long ago that criticisms of Sharia law were rooted in white supremacy.
Okay. I am a little surprised that J.D. Vance mentioned Sharia law. Because it you probably won't see it on signs, but I think the concern that is growing in this country over the influence of Islam and Muslims is growing. And J.D. Vance, I think, thought about this, that you are going to see a growing concern over what's going to happen if we elect someone like Abdul el-Sayed. Is he going to push for Sharia law? We know there's a big debate going on in Texas right now over whether there's going to be an Islamic community and whether that's going to lead to pockets of Sharia law. There's been a lot of talk lately about Hamtramck, Michigan, Dearborn, Michigan, where the majority populations are now Islamic. And there was a black preacher that went before city council in Dearborn, I think it was last week, mm-hmm. and he was very vocal about his concern that you guys are going to turn this community under Sharia law and you can't do this. So it is a growing concern.
I think a lot of Americans are just now becoming educated on what Sharia law even means.
Yes.
Because we've heard that, and we need to do a segment on this, maybe tomorrow, the next day, Frank or Alex or Abe can wax eloquent on this too. But to synopsize what we're talking about here, folks, when you hear the term Sharia law, this is Islamic law, which everywhere around the world where Islamic law, where Muslims are the dominant religion and Sharia law dominates, it's completely and totally incompatible with the United States Constitution.
Yes.
Okay. You talk about mixing religion and government. Sharia law is a religious law that supersedes anything else where it dominates. Okay, so you look at the Muslim countries in the Middle East, even Saudi Arabia, even some that are our allies, where Sharia, the Afghanistan, the Taliban.
Mm-hmm.
Where Sharia law dominates, it's very cruel. It's inhumane in many ways, but they do it in the name of Allah.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's at odds with Western values. But you know, it's a funny thing, I don't hear the political left screaming separation of church and state on
yes,
this one.
That's right.
Why is that?
Mm.
They're not, you don't hear them. You know, and if Christians get involved in politics, oh, separation church and state.
Yes.
You know, but the fellow running for Senate in Michigan, he has advocated for Sharia law in the past.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'll be back momentarily.
Friend, we're living in a defining moment. Today, a woman facing an unexpected pregnancy can order the abortion pill online, often before anyone has the chance to tell her that she is loved, that she's not alone, or that there is hope. That's why you are needed right now. You are made for this moment. At Preborn Network Clinics, mothers are welcomed with compassion, practical support, and a free ultrasound. And when she sees her baby and hears that tiny heartbeat for the very first time, fear often gives way to hope. In fact, more than 80% of abortion-vulnerable women choose life after seeing their baby on an ultrasound at a Preborn Network clinic. That one moment can save a baby's life and open a mother's heart to the hope of Jesus Christ. This is our moment to stand for those who cannot speak for themselves. Just $28 provides one life-saving ultrasound. $140 helps rescue five babies. Please don't wait. Dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250, baby. Or give securely at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. Together, we can save lives one heartbeat at a time.
Greece and Italy. We're going there in the spring of 2027. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. My sons, Walker and Wesley, are going to be leading a tour of Greece, which includes many of the sites found in the book of Acts, where Paul traveled. And then we call that the footsteps of Paul. And then we're going to Italy. By we, I mean Allison, my wife, and I are leading a group to Italy to see the sites of that great country, including Rome. We're going to visit Rome, and that'll take a couple, 3 days to see all that's in Rome. And so we're going to visit the Sistine Chapel. Yeah, Michelangelo, you may have heard of him. He was a slightly better than average artist. So we're going to be going there. If you want all the information on our tours of Italy and Greece, go to tours.afa.net. That's tours.afa.net.
Oh, Lord, you are so good, so ready to forgive, so full of unfailing love for all who ask for your help. Psalm 86, 5.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, and Chris, we thank you for listening to AFR. So we were talking about mixing church and state, which is what happens with Sharia law in Islamic-dominant countries, except guess what? They don't mix church and state. The Islamic rulers, like in Iran, control everything. And so you don't want Sharia law. Sharia law is completely contrary to Western values and our Constitution. And it is all encompassing. It's all controlling. And people say, well, you're scaring people for no reason. Sharia law will never be law in the United States. Well, while we're doing, we're warning you that, it is taking place slowly in, some say quickly, in Europe right now. They are 10, 20 years ahead of us in terms of their embracing, for example, no-go zones in Paris and London and other places where the police and the authorities don't go into Islamic-dominant areas of the city or the country because they allow the Muslims to govern themselves through Sharia law. So they have little enclaves, or sometimes big enclaves. I heard about this a few years ago with a Christian missionary who lived in Birmingham, England. And he said, hey, the Muslims are taking over. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about things like that, people say, well, you're Islamophobic. You know, you're spreading hate against the Muslims and Islam. No, we're not. We're warning about a political and a cultural reality that is taking place, And if you look at where Muslims dominate around the world, they implement Sharia law because they think they're honoring Allah. And anything less is sacrilegious to them. Indonesia, that's probably the largest Muslim country in the world right there in terms of population.
Yeah,
let's bring Walker in here.
Yeah.
And then Walker Wildman is vice president here at AFA and host of the At the Core show Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays on American Family Radio. We're going to talk about some positive things that AFA and AFR are doing. Mm-hmm. Well, we're the one, so we're is. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Glad to be with you guys.
Fred, go ahead.
No, I was going to say with regards to what's happening, you mentioned the UK, you mentioned France. And sometimes it starts, and people are being warned about this, about accommodating Islamic belief. And we just had this story in the last 10 days that at the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport and Houston Airport, they were going to put foot washing facilities in those airports. That is something that Muslims want. And Governor Abbott has put a stop to that, because of the concern that once, you know, you make that accommodation, then other demands come in these public facilities. Mm-hmm. So it's you've got to watch it, not so much that Sharia law is here, not yet, but when you start accommodations, when you start saying...
Right, it's the beginning.
We're going to build things to accommodate, mm-hmm. That's the foot in the door.
Yeah.
And that's what Governor Abbott in Texas is concerned about.
Yeah, and Islam is you guys talk about this frequently, is 100% incompatible with our constitutional form of government, and specifically the Christian value set that originated what we know as America today. And much of what we're experiencing as far as the rapid increase in the Muslim population in America is 100% self-inflicted, meaning we've allowed, through legal immigration, the mass importation of Muslim populations all around the country. I know often talk about the Somali population in Minnesota, but this is not, I say on my show, this is not an organic mass conversion to Islam from native-born Americans. This is decades of allowing 500,000 or a million annually Muslims to immigrate into America.
Yeah, we want to be welcoming. We, the United States, want to be welcoming of all cultures and religions. That's been our history, you know. Ethnicities, everybody's welcome here. We're the melting pot. But you can be a part of the melting pot, but you can't try to subvert the melt. The Constitution, which governs the melting pot, as long as you want to come here and live under our way of life and not force Sharia law, then everything's okay. The problem is, you just wonder, well, who's coming here to the United States? Maybe having a hidden agenda until it's time to spring it on you, mm-hmm. So to speak.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Walker. Walker, I wanted you to tell our listeners about what we are doing here at AFA and AFR with respect to politics and government, and specifically, this is election days coming up in, what, two or three months?
Yeah.
So I... voter guide. So tell our folks who are listening, especially those who write checks to support our ministry, what we're doing.
Yeah, so iVoter Guide is one of our three divisions under the AFA Action umbrella. And if you listen to AFR enough, you'll hear us talk about AFA Action. That's our government affairs outfit there at AFA Action. So iVoter Guide is one of our three divisions, and it's very simple. They produce a voter guide every single election cycle, every year, obviously during the off cycles, like last year, 2025, and then next year will be less elections around the country. You don't have these all 50 states midterms, if you will, are presidential. But this year is one of what we call the big years with the midterms. Every congressional seat, assuming there hasn't been a vacancy in our interim,
Every congressional seat is up for election, and roughly half of the U.S. Senate seats are up for election as well. And so it's a big year for midterms, and I'll just give you some quick numbers on the number of voters that we're educating through iVoter Guide, and then I'll briefly, for some of our new folks, I'll briefly describe what you're going to get when you go to iVoterGuide.com. But here's some quick numbers just this year alone, this midterm cycle. We've educated over 790,000 unique voters. Those are people who went to iVoterGuide.com, keyed in their voting address, and actually used the voter guide to influence their vote. But we look at this not just from a unique voter impacted standpoint. We look at this from the number of households that we're impacting, because as we all know, if one spouse, mom or dad, uses iVoter Guide, statistically speaking, they're usually going to share that with their family. And so when you look at it from that perspective, we're at over 2 million voters impacted just year to date, and we're obviously not even in November yet. Lastly, and then you guys can jump in, when you go to iVoter Guide, what makes it unique at iVoterGuide.com is the level of information. So we're doing research on multiple data points, candidate endorsements, who gives them money, what is their past voting history, what are their public statements. All of those things we're factoring into our evaluation. So it is the iVoter Guide is the most comprehensive voter guide in the country.
So it's not a matter of here's how we feel about a candidate. We track their history. They're actually how they're voting, that sort of thing. So it's not an opinion.
Right.
It's based on what they've been doing.
Yes, exactly. It's very objective. And how we get to the level of objectivity that we have is that we have researchers that are paid researchers, but then we have independent volunteer panelists that actually list the final evaluation from verified liberal all the way down to verified conservative. That's the spectrum that we evaluate on. And you get these, what we do is we have the volunteer panelists are locals. So they live in the state. They usually know the state politics. They know most of these candidates. And then they place the evaluation on the candidates. And that's what makes this voter guide unique. Obviously, we provide all the research, but placing that final evaluation on that spectrum, verified liberal to verified conservative, helps voters have a little bit extra confidence in their vote.
So I challenge all of our listeners right now, sometime today, to go and visit that website and check it out for yourself, because it is the best website for Christian voters in the country. Mm-hmm. There may be one just as good, but there's none better than the one we produce here. So tell folks how to go and look at that website.
Yes, they can go to iVoterGuide.com, iVoterGuide.com, key in your voting address, and your personalized ballot will be queued up right there on the homepage. You can even print it off. If you're more of a paper person, you can share it with family and friends. There's one very important primary tomorrow, runoff, in Oklahoma. You have, for the governorship, you have Mike Mazzell is his name, and then Drummond is the other gentleman's name. I can't remember his first name. His last name is Drummond. That's a Republican primary runoff in Oklahoma, very important race. Drummond is ranked as moderate on iVoter Guide, and Mike Mazzell is rated as, at a minimum, conservative. He may be verified conservative. But that the worldview difference on those two candidates for Oklahoma governor in the primary is a pretty stark difference to be in a Republican primary. So that's a big election tomorrow.
Yeah, also we mentioned South Carolina.
Yes.
The Senate primary there on the Republican side. And if you win a Republican primary in Oklahoma or South Carolina, you're almost guaranteed to be the next governor or the next U.S. senator. So again, what is the website to type in and go to?
Yeah, iVoterGuide.com, iVoterGuide.com. And the two candidates for that Republican Senate primary in South Carolina, both of those candidates have evaluations on their profile.
Okay. The thing that, one of the things that iVoter Guide does that very few voter guides do is it tells you where the candidates are getting their money from.
Yes. Yep. Campaign contributions.
Huh? Where are they getting their campaign contributions from?
Yes. And one thing we revealed through our research into this Oklahoma runoff election for the governorship on the Republican side, the Drummond candidate, one of the two individuals, he has received campaign contributions from Democrats from Democrat PACs, super PACs, et cetera. He also donated to Joe Biden's campaign last election cycle. So that's in
what?
Yes, very true story. It's all available at iVoterGuide.com. This is the kind of information that you're not going to get anywhere else. And if you do get it, it takes you hours of research to get it. So we're providing it for free at iVoterGuide.com.
Yeah, that's stunning.
Yes.
A Republican candidate for governor in Oklahoma would have given money, wrote a check to the Joe Biden.
Yes, he also has attacked President Trump and Immigration and Customs Enforcement, parroting the Democrat talking point about going into churches and schools.
Yeah.
He uses the term MAGA extremist. So he's a pretty typical moderate to left-wing Republican.
So there's a real lesson there. Just because they may be running in a Republican primary...
Yes.
Doesn't mean they're necessarily...
conservative.
Yeah, they sound more like a Democrat.
Yeah.
Do you know if... what's the situation in Ohio with Vivek Ramaswamy? Isn't he the Republican candidate for governor?
Yes.
Didn't he win the primary?
That I haven't heard. You would think he would have won
That's not getting much national attention.
No, let's...
Because Mike DeWine, I think two-time elected governor, maybe more than that, of Ohio is retiring.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that race is up for grabs. And I just know Vivek Ramaswamy, who everybody became familiar with during the Republican primary, is he a billionaire? I know he's a multimillionaire.
He's at least a millionaire.
But he made his money with his own.
He's an entrepreneur.
He's an entrepreneur, much like Chris.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, if you give me 30 seconds.
I'm just working here to pay my light bill, Tim.
I'll tell you what we have.
So, with Vivek Ramaswamy. I think that's the way. Isn't that the way you pronounce it?
Vivek.
Yeah.
Vivek. Vivek.
He's actually losing in some polls to the Democrat Ramaswamy is. I'm looking at real clear polling.
Yeah.
Acton is the name of the Democratic challenger.
What's the difference now on the polling?
She is up as much as 3 points, according to some polls. He is actually winning a Fox News poll.
So, yeah, Ramaswamy is running, and he did win the primary. So he'll be on the general election ballot on November 3rd in Ohio.
Yeah.
Up against a Democrat and an independent. And that voter guide will be out on September 25th.
Okay. So that's a tight race right now.
Yes, and it spells not very good things for a Republican presidential candidate in 2028 if your state just flipped governors.
Yeah. You know, Ohio has become a trending red state. Let's just say that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's been red for the most part.
Yeah, last probably 3 or 4 cycles.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Walker.
Yep, appreciate absolutely. iVoterGuide.com.
Okay, and Walker will be on this afternoon from 1 to 2 o'clock Central Time with the show At the Core here on American Family Radio. You are listening to AFR. Tim, Fred, and Chris. Chris, what's your next news story?
All right. Enes Kanter Freedom, the man who identifies as a woman so he can try to get drafted by the WNBA, paid a visit to a WNBA game over the weekend. Enes Kanter Freedom was wearing a T-shirt with the definition of a woman on it, and he got into a shouting match with a player on one of the WNBA teams, and security came and told him, hey, you need to leave. And so I've got some this is audio of Enes Kanter Freedom post-game describing the situation that led to him getting kicked out. Clip 12.
She started to walk towards me, and literally I just got up, and then I was like, I'm just here to protect women, and that's all, right? And then she started to yell. She started to use some very heavy language. She started to actually cuss. And I was very shocked that there were a lot of kids and there were a lot of teenagers was at that game. And I just cannot believe that she was just cussing in front of all these kids. And that is not, that's not a WNBA athlete should react, you know? And then anyway, and then after that, the security guy came and then I was like, listen, you need to leave. I was like, can you please tell me why do I need to leave? They said, look, you just need to leave. And then they literally, I don't want to say they dragged me, but like they pretty much like pushed me to leave the gym. And then after that, I had a conversation with the police officers, which I respect a lot. You know, I was like, listen, and I was just there to protect women.
Okay, for those who, most people do know by now, but so this gentleman you just heard from right there, he is originally from Turkey, thus the accent. Mm-hmm. But he played in the NBA.
He did.
For 10 years.
Many years.
His name is Enes Kanter
Freedom.
Freedom. Mm-hmm. So his name was Enes Kanter.
Right.
And he added the word freedom as his official last name. He changed his name.
Yeah.
Because he loves America so much and loves freedom so much. Now, by the way, I think he's a Muslim, or at least he was a Muslim by heritage. I don't know.
Correct.
I don't know if
he's. I'm not sure if he's practicing.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he's a practicing Muslim. But anyway, so he is forcing the issue with the WNBA on their lack of defining what a woman is, and. He has entered his, he's 6'10", 250, and he's in his mid-30s, but he's in excellent shape, all right? Mm-hmm. And he's declared for the WNBA draft.
He's a big lady.
Yeah, well, he's, what he's doing here, so he showed up at this game in Indiana mm-hmm. with a T-shirt. What did the T-shirt say?
It said, woman, noun, an adult female.
So it was a definition of a woman.
Correct.
Hmm.
Okay, so here's what's an issue here. People may know, why is this a story? Is this a like a circus act? What is it? What's his point? He has a point in this. The WNBA is a woke organization at its highest level. Some of the WNBA, I don't know all the people in the executive office, but what they don't want to do, they want to avoid defining what a woman is, despite the fact that they have woman in their names.
Yeah, yeah.
The Women's
NBA.
NBA National Basketball Association.
Mm-hmm.
But the woke crowd does not want the WNBA to define a woman as a biological female, because they want to be pro trans, all right? Mm-hmm. Because that's cool, you know. And so they're trying to so what this gentleman is doing here by entering the draft, he's trying to this is what I think he's trying to do. Obviously, he's trying to make the WNBA define specifically what a woman is. Right. And because they don't do that, he's saying, I'm eligible mm-hmm. to play in your league, and he's right.
That's right.
So yeah. I don't know what the WNBA, they're going to have to, people may say, well, that nobody will draft him. Well, if you don't draft him, who identifies as a woman for the purposes of playing in this league, as a female, then you're probably going to have a lawsuit on your hands. Where he's going to argue, I've been intentionally blackballed or discriminated against because of my political views. And he might have a case there. I don't know, because obviously it's not because he's not a great basketball player, or at least in his past, or he's not fit or in shape. He doesn't qualify. He qualifies. So it's what he's. This is going to force the issue. Remember, the Supreme Court justice, now sitting Supreme Court justice,
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Remember, she famously said, this is how these lefties try to walk the tightrope. Hmm. She was asked to define what a woman was mm-hmm. at her hearing, and she said, I don't know. I can't. I'm not a biologist. Isn't that what she said?
What she told Marsha Blackburn, yes.
Which is insane. Mm-hmm. And you know what a woman is. You just don't want to say it, because these political lefties want to act like transgendered people can be something that they aren't just because they say they are.
Right. That's which is what he said.
Which is what he said
for the draft.
What do you think is going to happen here, Fred?
Well, what's happening with this incident, and points to both the silliness and the danger. The silliness being that a man, a biological male, can say, you know what? I feel like a woman, therefore I am.
Right.
So I can play in women's sports. the serious side of this is protecting the integrity of women's sports.
Yes.
So that
and the safety of the girls.
This is it, exactly. So that some guy who simply declares, I feel like a woman, therefore I am, can get on that court and do serious injury to the women on that court, whether it's volleyball or basketball or whatever the case may be. So this once again is pointing to, as I say, the silliness that we're, this world we're living in now, that some guy can say, I just feel like a girl, therefore I am. Mm-hmm. But also the danger of that. And of course, like Riley Gaines and others have been trying, they're on this campaign to protect women's sports.
Yeah.
Also, keep in mind now, the Olympics, good for them, the Olympic Games have already said we're not allowing, you have to be a biological male or a biological female to participate in the Olympic Games. They've already laid that out pretty clear. You have to do that, and that's what this Enes Kanter Freedom is trying to force the WNBA to do, mm-hmm. which the strange thing and the unfair thing is when you oppose boys and men, I shouldn't even have to say the word biological because you either are or you aren't.
Right.
But we're talking about sports from youth all the way to professional. And no girls or girls' coaches or girls' parents in sports at any level wants dudes in the showers with their daughters or their players and are having to share hotel rooms or, you know, all the things that there's a lot of things that go on with sports that don't exactly involve just the court or just the field or whatever like that. So this is going to be interesting to watch and see what happens, because the pro-trans people want to say, if you're against us, you hate us. Uh-huh. And that's not true either. We'll be back momentarily.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.